Three is reaching into their pocket. What's that card gonna be? It's a red card. That can mean only one thing. It's time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. My name is Eric Paisley. I'm your host. With me tonight is...
John Brennig.
Super Sam, Super Sam. We're going to celebrate Super Sam. Super Sam got his first MLS regular season goal, and we are excited to talk about it. John, how are you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. It's fall, man. I'm wearing a sweatshirt indoors, and it kind of feels nice finally. Like, I'm like, man, it's been a long time coming.
Spice wishes coming true?
No, I don't drink that crap. Sorry for the harsh language, but no. Okay. But I was driving by one of the streets here with some trees along it, and some of them had started to change color. So, like, it's getting to be that time of year.
Quick shout out, not a sponsor of the pod, but the Nashville Severe Weather blog has posted their fall update, and we are actually supposed to see rising temperatures over the next 18 days. So the first frost typically in Nashville is October 19th. The first freeze is typically around October 28th, around Halloween. We will probably not see either of those, so it's going to be quite mild coming up, but I am welcoming my fall overlord. All right, John, let's talk about the soccer match. It was, speaking of fall weather, it was very Stoke City-esque Saturday night. John and I had the good fortune to sit together for this match, and I actually had a lot of fun, and I'm glad you came out. Gut reaction to the match against New England Revolution.
We score goals.
Yeah.
The lineup beginning of the game, I mean, I read it, the tweet said it, everyone said, like, this looks like a playoff lineup. This looks playoff game number one on the road. That's what we want to put out there. Mm-hmm. And we did. And we went out there and jumped up 3 points. Now, yes, the final score was 3-2. We slacked off a little bit defensively. There's some questions. We still secured the win. Gut feeling, that was great. We came out with our best lineup, and our best lineup did what it needed to do. That's it. I was happy.
Yeah, I thought the match was very entertaining. Again, we had predicted possibly a bit of a snoozer, but as you had pointed out right before the match, New England actually has something to play for, right? They are, if they had won, right? You said that they would have gotten to host a playoff game.
Or they would be in position currently. Obviously, decision day, all things are up in the air because it's that close. But they would have been in the driver's seat for that fourth position. So, yes, it was a big deal to them.
Yeah. Whereas we seem to be stuck in seventh place. We'll talk about that at the end of the show in our third segment. But, we want to talk about the match. It was actually quite a nice night. I'm glad I went. I was kind of, I wasn't quite looking forward to it. But it started out really good. It was a fun match to watch, and it really took off right from the get-go. The lineup was good. We'll talk about some individual performances, but I thought the team overall had a lot of, as they say, over the cross the pond, good heart. They seemed to be really into the match. There wasn't a lot of, it just seemed very, very energetic. And it was, it was, for me, good to see overall, just gut reaction in the match. It was a thinner crowd, but not as bad as I think we had predicted it would be. But the crowd was into it. There was a lot of interaction, a lot of engagement. So, yeah, it was a fun match. All right, John, let's get into some awards for the match. Hardest working player for you.
Well, and I think this is where the quality of the thing is. I felt like everyone put in great effort. I mean, we talked about it. We saw some good efforts from Shaq going forward. Leal played a great game. This might have been his best game this season. I think that first game of the year, he was also pretty outstanding. But it's up there in the top couple he's played. Schaffelberg had a great contribution, even though it was cut short by, which apparently is only a rolled ankle, so may not be too serious. I mean, like, there were so many people that were playing great. To me, this was the hardest award to pick. And so I'm going to go on a limb because I feel like, you know how sometimes there's like the silent plays that happen in between things that you might not see and lead up to it. So I'm going to give mine to Dan because I remember we were sitting on our side. It was the second half. You and I saw it. Dax lost possession on the side of the field. Dan was there and farther upfield. Dax tried to track back with Carlos Heel, And we saw Dan go on a tear. I mean, full speed, as fast as he could. He caught up with Carlos Hill right about the top of the 18, tracked him to the corner, and took the ball away from him defensively. If you remember, that was a key stop. You remember that we pointed out, like, full head of steam, came in, got the ball, no man, no nothing, clean, stole the ball and went back. I feel like it was an epitome of what we saw everyone doing. I mean, we saw him wheel, do wheel things when he came in. He was running all over. But I just saw that effort, and I feel like that epitomizes, like, Dan saw it and was like, look, their crosses had not been the most successful. If you look at the goals they got, most of them kind of came from play at the top of the box. But still, Dan saw that. He's like, that's my man. I have to get down there. And he did everything he could and booked it and made the cleanest tackle he could. Ref didn't even give it a second look, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and just took the ball back and kept going. He gave the little get up.
Yeah, he gave the get up. And Carlos Hill stayed down there and was grumpy and was offsides for like the next 3 minutes before he decided to walk back. But to me, that was the epitome of the hardest working, just putting in that effort on a small tackle that it ended up being nothing, but that could have been a good chance for them. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the stuff like that that I feel like was kind of an invisible play. So I'm going to give it to him, even though, again, it could have been so many people. I even feel like both Dax and Godoy had great games. Obviously, Dax had the goal, and usually we extol our midfields, but I feel like everyone played so well that they kind of blended in and didn't even stand out, which is odd.
I'm going to give mine to Leal again. This is my third award in a row, and it's because okay, so let me walk you through the evolution. In my notes, I actually had, and I make notes after the match, I actually had Hani as my hardest worker because I felt like he really put in, and I kind of want that manifestation, right? I kind of want to sort of, I feel like now we're getting a little superstitious about our awards, but I wanted to kind of manifest because it seems like Hani's a bit on the snide now. You know, he's maybe a little frustrated that the goals are not coming. So, but you got to give it to Leal. I'm sorry, but after I watched the post game, thank you. Shout out to Speedway Soccer. Please check out their channel. After I watched Gary's comments, Gary Smith, the coach of the Nashville Soccer Club, I watched his comments. He really talked up Leal. He thought that Leal had one of his very best games, you know, because otherwise, I mean, again, a couple of different bumps and some of his crosses to Sam would have gone in the net. One for sure went off the crossbar would have been a goal. Maybe then he actually pointed out that there was another one, you know, and he was also tracking, as we pointed out, he's tracking back. He's dispossessing people. Yeah, he is really working hard. I don't know how he feels about his game. I don't, you know, again, we've seen his body language kind of go up and down during a match. You know, he kind of takes things really personally if he doesn't feel like he's contributing, or I don't know. I don't know what his perspective is. Maybe he feels like he should be scoring goals too. You know, and you want that, you know, in a high talent player like Leal, but he just had such a key, impact on the game. Throughout the game, you have to kind of give it to Leal. So that's who's getting it mine. I want him to continue that. I want him to, you know, chin up and, you know, you're playing your very best right now. So that's all you can really expect of yourself. All right, MVP. Who do you think the MVP should be for this match?
Super Sam Surridge, baby.
Surridge.
I gave him the one last week for his non-goal scoring efforts. This week, the man got the goals.
I think you manifested. I think you secreted it, yeah.
I know, I think I did. But look, I mean, he nearly had four. We had the one that was offsides. He had the one that went off the header went off the crossbar that ended up in Dax's.
Which was, again, that's the cross from Leal. That was just a beauty. It was on the dime.
No, I mean, he nearly had two more, and he nailed those two. And, I mean, you could see it was so funny watching the second half, because I feel like you and I laughed that you could see when he and Hani went down there was a little bit of alpha male clashing of like, I want the hat trick. Yeah, but I need a goal. Yeah. And it was like, who was going to, you know, it was kind of funny to watch. Yeah. And there were some shots that were not so great from both of them, but it was just funny that you could see them both wanting to get on the score sheet again. And it was great to see. I just feel like it's kind of the monkey off the back thing. You know, we talked about he scored in League's Cup, still hasn't scored in, you know, MLS. And I do think we need to give him a big pass for some of those games. Cause like this, you mentioned in this game, the speed, he looked a lot faster than he did those first couple games out of League Cups. Whatever that ailment was, it did affect him. He could not track back and forward and move nearly as well as he did last night. He looked in form and good. And also, all four of his, I guess they're shots on target if they hit the crossbar, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. And go, well, technically the one's not a shot, actually, it's offside. Yeah. But all four of them were great, high quality strike. Like everything about them was what we want from a DP striker. It's the stuff you and I would have been like, oh God, if that had been CJ, who knows where that ball would have ended up. But with Sam, they were all on target.
Yeah. Well, I feel like he's getting much better service from his supporting cast, right? Or, you know, the folks that are in the zone, in the attacking zone. It seems like everyone's looking for Hani or Sam, and it, you know, it's paying dividends. He said after the match, again, I'm not quoting him, but I'm just sort of paraphrasing what he said, that it definitely weighed on him not scoring. It mentally affected his game. He just came out and said it, like, I was brought here to score goals. I wasn't scoring goals. That really bothered me. I expect to be on the score sheet every single match. And, you know, and he talked about that, you know, his career, very self-aware for such a young man. We forget he's not that old. I mean, he's a very young man. His match presence is still, he's still trying to find where he fits into the team. Because shout out to Valère Chavilla. Valère asked some of the best questions during the post. Just come on. Pharmapod, check them out. Valère asked Sam's point blank, like, how do you feel that you fit into this team? Are you gelling with what Gary wants you to do? And Sam just straight out answered Valère, I went back to play defense. You know, the goal that I got was actually started in the defensive zone where I dispossessed a guy and took the ball down. So,
yes,
I don't know. Yeah, just that we are lucky to have Sam and Valère. I feel like, you know, we have, media MVPs are not a thing that we do, but I'm giving Valère my media MVP.
Gold star. No, but I mean, and that's the thing I think we talked about that. You need in Gary's system. You can't necessarily have someone who's not willing to defend and do that. And I, like I mentioned last week, Sam showed up in so many places that not necessarily where you want him to be, ideally. But in these cases, sometimes we pull all the tall guys back because it's a corner and you got to do that. And he's doing his duty. You know what I mean? Like Teal, that's one thing to compliment Teal. He's always been willing to do that. That is the one reason I think Teal has stuck around and stuck with this team. His goal production is not necessarily great. He's got good, you know, reception on headers and kind of possessing the ball when we clear it out, but he's willing to do all the things. And I feel like Gary finally found the guy who can score goals, has the touch, but can also do those things. So I feel like he is definitely the man that fits the mold that we've had, or the mold that was lacking, I guess we should say. So.
Yeah. The next award we have to give, and again, I don't want you to just jump out and, but I'm going to put the three goal. We have three goals to choose from for the best goal tonight. Now, I don't want you to just jump in with your favorite one. I want you to carefully consider all your options. First, you have...
You asked me to rank them?
No, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
You've got the dad goal, which was, again, I've seen Dax, he loves like roofing it off the top crossbar.
He does. He does. So he doesn't shoot low.
He does not. You've got Sam's header, which was it's just a sitter. I mean, it was just like dunk. He floated in the air for what seemed 5 seconds before he just made contact.
I know. It almost looked like he jumped too early. I feel like he was coming down by the time he was just got there. But it was like, I know.
And then, of course, the curler at the chef's kiss curler, which was your favorite.
So this was a hard one. The Sam sitter was nice, but I do feel like that was a lot of really bad defending and served up on a platter by Jacob.
There was one Dave Romney in front of the goal there.
I'm giving a lot of credit on that one to Jacob's service on that. I think created a lot of that. The other two, it's hard because Sam's shot was disgusting. Because I thought it went straight in. Like it looked like he just burned it to the corner. He didn't. He curled that out in the disgusting. But I feel like I have to give it to Dax because to hit that on the volley and to smack that sucker. Yeah. And I mean, this is with Dax. Venom. The man does not get goals often, but when he does, like, and the confidence, like, I don't know, man. I feel like at that point, because we've been frustrated. We had some fouls in the box. We had the offside calls. It felt like we were making good chances, but nothing clicked. And we like the whole crowd was just like, oh, Sam's header went off. And then it falls to Dax, calm, and he finishes it. It just felt kind of like the karmic start of where it really kicked into good high gear for us in that game. I feel like, you know, you talked about in the last game, there was that breaking point of like after 20 minutes, like, okay, things aren't going our way. I feel like some of that was building in the game, mm-hmm. and this was the release of like, okay, no, we can take control of this game. I wonder how things would have been if he hadn't made that goal. So I feel like it was a little bit of a turning point, which is why I'm giving it more credit. But Sam's is still sick. So I don't know. What about you?
So I just want to put a little bit of punctuation on what you just said. I really like, I like your pick. I'm going to back it up by saying, do you know who was the first person Dax grabbed to celebrate? Was Leal. That he was, and he had his arm around it. Remember, because the camera cuts off of it, but we see like they walked up together the whole way, to all way from the goal to the center field. He was just talking to him, like really pumping him up. So I feel like, you know, there's definitely some coaching going on the field through Dax and Godoy too. If we're honest, I'm actually going to give it to Sam's second one, because Sam himself said that was his favorite goal. In the post game, Valer Shabilla, again, this is the third shout out in a row for Valer, asked, you know, how he did that. And Sam said he actually practiced that since he was a kid. That's his shot. That curler on the ground. He actually practices that ever since he was a little kid. Yeah, isn't that sick? That's just sick. So for those who don't know what we're talking about, go watch the highlights. It is a beautiful shot where Sam somehow, and again, I don't know how this works, I don't know physics, curls the ball on the ground to go into the, because it looks like it's going to go wide right, and it curls back in right inside the post. And Sam's like, I've practiced that ever since I was a teenager. I know how to do that.
Well, now I got to know, I wonder if you can do it with both feet. I want to ask.
That's a good question. See, Valer didn't ask that question. So so much for the improbability.
Please don't.
Let's not do that. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to ask what we learned from this. We got actually some things we got to break down in the match, along with the stats, which John will provide, and we'll tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. It is the Halloween edition. And we are back. All right, John, you know what was one of my most favorite parts of last night, of Saturday night, was...
There were so many memories.
You know, but I really loved the tacos I got in section 118. My good friend Javier and his family took great care of us. And also, you know, we talk about the tacos, but, you know, we never talk about the horchata, which they also serve there. We enjoyed a horchata after them. I guess after halftime, I got it.
Second half.
And it was delicious. So check them out, section 118. You can also check them out near the stadium at Tempo, Tex-Mex Tacos, and Premium Coffee.
Yes. Yeah, I also had them, and that was my dinner, and it was the perfect thing pregame.
They are not a sponsor of the pod, but I wish they were. All right, John, what did we learn? What do you think we learned from this match?
When we score goals, we win games. Does that count as a lesson?
Wow, that is some deep. You talk about forget Valer for MVP. Media MVP. I think that right there that nails it.
No, to me that what I saw was, like we talked about, a team that continued to go for it. We didn't get frustrated. I feel like the home energy helped a little bit. Mm. But what I saw, I mean, granted, New England didn't have a couple players due to international duty, but it was still a pretty good lineup. I mean, this was really close to their, you know, full-on starting 11. I think we can hang with any team on any given night. We can. Yeah. I just feel like, to me, if we do this and if we can have a good showing against the Red Bulls, it'll help build playoff momentum. That's great. But I think it just shows we can hang. I mean, we did it. We hung with the Liga MX teams. We can hang with a team on any given night. I think it just depends on, you know, the way we want to go out and play. Like you and I have talked about it, we will play down to some of the worst opponents in MLS, and we will play stupid games and get stupid cards and allow bad goals and get down, and it'll feel horrible and you want to leave at halftime. Yeah, like we will do that. But when we come in and have a fire lit under us for whatever reason, we can hang with almost anyone. I mean, we've seen it happen multiple times this year. Yeah. We just have to make sure that that's the attitude we go into the playoffs with and bring that. And I think we can hang with anyone and we could make a run. It's just, you know, it's going to depend. I don't know. It's weird to say it depends so much on our attitude, but that's what it seems like. Sure. there are lineups differences. There are forms of like, well, how healthy is Walker? You know what I mean? Like, is everyone 100%? What formation do we use? Like, there are obviously questions about that that can factor into it. But I mean, sometimes it just seems like we just got to go in there with the right mentality and it's anything's possible, you know?
Do you think that we are not getting fair calls? And the reason why I ask this is that Gary, again, has brought up, I didn't know this, he's brought up this the problem of Schaufelberg's speed and getting taken down in the box and it only going as a foul and not a card has really started to bother Gary. And he feels like the lack of that has contributed to, he's not saying, he says it could possibly contribute to some of the injury we have seen on Schaufelberg. Thoughts on that?
Well, I would say a couple things. In general, I feel like at this point in the season, Hanni tends to go down too early and he's not going to get calls. Yeah. So I do want to, that to me, that's the opposite of the spectrum. Especially near the box, he tends to go down. It's going to be hard for him to earn a call. I don't think Jacob goes down too softly. And I do think when I watched that particular sequence back, I do think he was fouled after the ball was gone. I also think that the deflection off of Jackson hit Gonzalez's arm. I can see maybe why they didn't call it, because it was kind of like tucked across his body. But to me, the foul was bad.
Yeah.
And I do agree. I think his speed, because when he's going that speed, people are tackling him full speed and, you know, stuff's bound to happen. So I agree. I can understand Gary's frustration with that. I think his calls tend to be more egregious and they also look and tend to be worse because, again, they're high speed collisions. Otherwise, you know, we talked about in particular that game. The first offside was legit. I watched it back. Yes.
Yeah, it was.
There were some frustrations. To me, the biggest one was the foul on Schaufelberg was probably the biggest missed call of the game. Again, like I said, I think the handball, I can see how you may not overturn that. So to me, like, yes, we blame things on the ref, but I do think that he has been taken down multiple times this year. He's earned, what did I say? I had it tracked. It was either, I think it was three PKs he's earned this year from that. But there are definitely some other ones he hasn't. Some of them are tackled outside the box, so that's fair. I don't know. It is. I can see how it's very frustrating for Gary to have a key player whose goal is to go down there and use his speed, not being rewarded for getting the ball into a dangerous place and then getting taken out
and beating his man. Yeah, that's the thing. That's beating frustrating. His man. Yeah, you beat someone and you don't get the it's not fair and balanced. It's not balanced. It's not fair what's happening. And speaking of too, I feel like the card that Hanni got for, I guess, arguing with the ref again, Martinez bumps a ref, like physically hits her, basically hits a ref, gets, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I'm all for Hanni earning that card because I don't think he's in danger of suspension. So I'm like, go for it. Go jaw the ref off because it was crap. Godoy jaw, they all went after him for not calling the game. Jake was clearly down. He got immediately substituted. It wasn't fake. Like, no, I agree that was poor on the ref's part, and I think they should have. But yeah, I agree that some of the card stuff in MLS has been very inconsistent this year. Okay. I mean, that's kind of what it always is, unfortunately.
All right, John. Go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, was there anything else that stood out to you?
Yeah, I think what we learned, and again, maybe I'm leaning too heavy on the post-match, and I don't want to rehash what Gary and Sam were talking about, and Taylor Washington in the post-game conference. I don't want to rehash it, but I do feel like they are on the same wavelength of what we have been talking about, which is they have to be better going into the playoffs. Like, we can't limp into the playoffs. They know that. They're talking about that in the locker room. It's nice, I guess, to see some validation that what we feel is going on in there is actually going on, right? So they are talking about, like, we can't be playing like this going into the playoffs. We just can't. We can't go in there with, like, this poor attitude or like whatever it is. We just can't do that. We have to be scoring goals. We have to be, playing a lot more brightly, with a lot more, I guess, like almost joy in the game to have a result that we want to get that hardware. And I don't know what's going to happen with Taylor Washington. And he is even talking about, like, this probably is his last year at in Nashville. And he's making the most of it. I got to say, if ever I'm down, I want whatever he has, I want to bottle it and put it in my pocket so that whenever I'm having a bad day, I can just take it out. Because he was talking, I don't know if it was Valera or another media person, he was talking about he was there when all of the team's equipment was in a storage shed on Craighead. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That was Nashville soccer. Like, and now look at it. He's been there the whole time, and he's, he has this attitude of gratefulness. And I think what we learned is that this team wants to bring hardware to this city. They mm-hmm. want to mm-hmm. play for. I think that's what we've learned is that they will do what it takes. And I think that's what was hanging over them after the internet. You know what I mean? Maybe that was like losing to Miami. Yep. Maybe that was kind of not physically hanging over them, but maybe mentally that we, we had an opportunity to win hardware and we didn't. I don't know. John, hit us with some stats.
So some big ones, 23 total shots on goal. 10 shots on target. This is a far cry from what we had been doing before. This is what direction we want to go. 3 full expected goals. So we nailed it on the button. We nailed our expected goal things. Good for us. I don't think you get a bonus for being as close without going over anything. Yeah, that's not Price is Right. Yeah. No, but I think that was key. We started off early. We started putting shots on goal, putting pressure, and we went for it. And it was interesting because for the first 10 minutes, I was a little they had possession, for the first like 7 or 8 minutes, and it was a little tense. And then we started getting it. But when we did, we were dangerous with it, which I think is the key.
Yeah.
The other really, really interesting stat that was shown during the game. So I'm going to include this game's result. Nashville Soccer Club this year is 13-0-0 when scoring 2 or more goals. We are 0-10-10 when scoring less than 2 goals. In other words, every single game we have won, we have scored at least 2 goals. Now, we haven't necessarily won by 2 goals. Obviously, we won 3-2 here, so there's a 1-goal margin. But if we have scored 2 or more goals, we have won the game this year. That's kind of a big stat. That is a very interesting stat, which means we haven't won any 1-0 close ones. It's always been by a larger margin. So I thought that was a really interesting stat that Apple TV, props for them for putting up something truly actually interested and completely non-Messi related this time. So I thought that was very interesting that all 13 of our wins have come by at least by scoring a minimum of 2 goals.
Oh, and speaking of most welcome, most welcome developments on Apple TV, Tony Husband on the broadcast Saturday night.
Oh, nice.
It's so nice because when I was watching the highlights, I'm like, I'm hearing Tony's melodic voice, and I was like, yes, this makes it even better.
So it does.
All right, Sam. Sorry, I was thinking of Sam Surge. You're not Sam. John, why don't you tell the folks who or what needs to get off your pitch?
So it is. MLS has released all of their official nominations for end of year awards. So in other words, look, we love Taylor Washington. You can't vote for him for MVP. He's not on the list. You know what I mean? So they cull it down. So this is kind of a 2-part get off my pitch. One is for MLS, for the fact that Messi even shows up on the MVP list. Guys, I know he is your pride and joy, your brand new shiny Ferrari in the garage. I guess it's not Ferrari. I don't know that Argentina make cars, but extend the analogy. I get it. The man, I think, has played a total of 5 games in MLS regular season outside the League's Cup. No. Just no. He can't be. Now, if there was a League's Cup MVP for the give it to him because I think there was just a final game.
He is the MVP of the League's Cup for sure.
Right, and I think he got the golden boot, but if there's one for the tournament, sure, you can give him that too. Great, he deserved it. He carried them on his back. He did not do that for an entire MLS season. He did it for less than a third. Get off my pitch with him on the list. Second of all is in those things, I saw some people, kind of tweet theirs out, just some of the press people. And of course, I see some of the Nashville ones, but I see like Tom Bogart and Matt Doyle, the MLS guys. And I saw a name on there that very much disturbed me. Look, as a Nashville fan, I have come to accept that it is very likely Lucho Acosta will win the MVP.
Yeah.
I hate it, but I understand it. I don't understand why I saw some people, including a certain Nashville writer, and I'm going to withhold his name, who put Matt Miazga as the defensive player of the year?
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, did you watch MLS this year? Matt Miazga, good at anything. And no, straight red.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a double red card tonight from John. Two red cards, one for MLS and one for an unnamed national.
No, not just running for a few people. There were some like national pundits I saw that out there.
For the national media, everyone. Including
the national media for even dropping his name in any rule. Yeah.
Wow.
In any award ever.
The salty frog is in the house, everyone. John, I can't top that because mine is a little more domestic. So it is Halloween. I teased it that, you know, this is the Halloween edition. And the reason why I say that is that this seems to be around the week that you start buying all your crap for Halloween, right? That is,
I'm not going to lie, we've really pushed the costume discussion up this week. So yes.
Actually, if you hear some banging in the background, it's because my daughter is working on her costume as we speak. So Halloween is in full effect. However, my red card is for one of my neighbors. I won't say where, obviously, who has two giant skeletons in their yard. Now let me tell you why.
Oh, are they the 12-foot Home Depot ones? From,
yeah, no, they're bigger than that. They're huge, like 15 feet tall. Yeah. They're from Home Depot.
Yeah.
Learned that you have to be on a waiting list to purchase these things. Hmm. They have two. So unnamed Green Hills neighbor. It's in the Green Hills area, but I won't say where. You can get off my pitch. You took two of them, and you didn't have them before. You have two now. So that means that you have some sort of inroads with Home Depot. Maybe you're an Atlanta fan. I don't know. But you can get off my pitch. I'm trying to bring it back to soccer. All right, John, let's take a break on that note. When we come back, we'll tell you about the last regular season match coming up. We'll give you our score prediction, and we'll tell you what we got wrong. Stay with us. John, let's say that someone wants to tell us about their Halloween costume or the Nashville or national media that has upset them. How could they tell us that?
You could find us on Twitter at @GOMP_pod, or you could go on YouTube at Get Off My Pitch.
Get Off My Pitch. You can check us out Sunday nights, 8 p.m. We broadcast live on the Twitter, X, whatever, and on YouTube, Get Off My Pitch. Yeah. We would love to hear your comments. Okay, John, who are we playing and when are we playing? Who's the last game of the year? Yeah.
So we, along with everyone else except for DC, because there's an odd number of teams, so someone couldn't play decision day, are playing this Saturday at 5 p.m. Central Time, because they're all synced, so 6 Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. All of the Eastern Conference games are at that time. I believe all the Western Conference ones are like 3 hours later, so it'd be
7:38.
It's 7:38, something like that. Yeah. So so that's all the Eastern Conference games. So yes, we're playing here at 5 p.m., which is a very odd time for a home soccer game. We had one afternoon game on the weekend this whole year.
It's weird.
But anyway, so slightly earlier game for your enjoyment. I know you won't be there. I'll be out of town. So we're both going to miss the first decision day that we have hosted, I believe, because 2 years ago, we had issues with the Titans. Last year, I knew we were away for whatever reason. So maybe I'm wrong. I'll look that up. We can VAR it later. But yeah, so decision day against the Red Bulls. Now, that leads us to playoff talk. The Red Bulls do have something to play for. They sit in 10th. They are technically tied with DC on 40 points. Now, due to the weird quirk that DC is not playing on decision day, they are actually eliminated. So New York could play their way into the playoffs. But they're also tied with Chicago, who could play. So there's a lot of scenarios, but they're probably not going to come in, you know, flat. They have something to play for. They want to make the playoffs. So it's not that they're not going to, you know, just kind of come in for, you know, for laughs and giggles, you know, like Miami might be, who's already been eliminated. So they have something to play for, which could make it interesting because they always play that pressing soccer, and we've always had a little bit of an issue with it.
Yeah. So score predictions on this, what do you think?
Well, now that I know that we never win with less than 2 goals, because I want us to win, I have to predict we score at least 2 goals. So I'm going to say we win 2-1. Decision day, it's a close one, but we pull out the win and possibly complicate the playoff picture or still end up in 7th. Who knows?
Yeah, we haven't talked about the playoffs, and I apologize to all our listeners. We haven't talked about the playoffs much because we've been stuck in 7th place pretty much for a few weeks now, right?
Yep. And we're kind of at the mercy of everything around us. So we're 2 points behind Atlanta. We are 3 points behind New England. Sorry. We're 1 point behind Atlanta, 3 points behind New England. So in theory, we could hop up and be tied with New England, but there's some goal differentials to play. Atlanta's playing Cincy, who doesn't have anything to play for. So who knows? New England's playing Philly. So honestly, there's so much to go on. And there's enough scenarios. But basically, the short version is we could possibly jump up to fifth place. But in all likelihood, we're probably still going to be in seventh, maybe with an inkling that we jump to sixth if Cincinnati, for some reason, decides to come out and smack Atlanta just for one more time. So, again, probably seventh, which I will say this. This we do know. Orlando cannot drop any lower than two. So if we stay seventh, we will be playing Orlando. They can't drop any further. They can't move. So if we're in seventh, we're absolutely playing Orlando. If we move positions, then it gets variable. So...
Well, okay, let's talk a little bit about that scenario. I want to say that it's 1-0. We win against Red Bull. I'm actually going to go against the tide. I want to say it's our first 1-0 win. We didn't talk about it in our second segment. We should have, which is the defensive sort of lacking that we did demonstrate in the game. The reason why it was 3-2. And it was, I hate to say it, one was on Bauer. He came in for Walker, who I think had some issues, physical issues, and just came out of the game. Bauer came on and just was out of position. He just flat out was out of position, and that was on him. The second one was on Joe. It was on Joe Willis. He spilled the ball.
And admittedly, that first one, Bauer was out of position, but Chunkley played it really well. That was a great one-time strike. I think a lot of other players fumble that, and it's not nearly as dangerous, and you know, ends up as a non-goal. The other one was unfortunately just absolutely on Joe, and we can't have that happen. But I think that's part of why I think you and I, like, it's disappointing, but it wasn't like backbreaking, like, oh my gosh, our defense is falling apart. Like that second one was.
Yeah, and Gary, again, I hate to keep leaning on the post game, but Gary did say we could have gone up 4 or 5 goals. Like that's how much confidence. That's why we didn't panic when we went down a goal. Like when they scored and they scored again, we didn't like, there was no panic. There was absolutely no panic on the field because we just knew we could score a couple more goals if we wanted to. And there was a couple of dangerous moments.
And I think Gary had not yet played some of the subs, so he knew he could get in some fresh energy. We could lock it down. I agree. And I think if we come out like that, I think we can handle New York because admittedly, they're not a great offensive team. No. Yes, they have a high press and stuff, but I think we have the ability to go around it. And so...
The reason why I'm predicting 1-0 is because I think we see a non-playoff lineup. I think we rest some. I actually think we'll see some rests.
Okay.
Now, what that means is, what am I talking about? I think we'll see Bauer. I think we'll see Hockenson. You know what I mean? I think we'll see some of our people that are like on the B squad. I hate using that term, but they're more of a substitute lineup. Yeah. And I think they'll play very tight defense. I think it's going to be Gary Ball classic. It's going to be classic Nashville SC from 2021. It's going to be Gary Ball, and we're going to attack. We're just going to be looking for the counterattack. And I say we get a 1-0 win. All right. So let's talk about, and we'll wrap it up with this. Let's talk about Orlando. Do you think we could beat Orlando in the playoffs?
Interestingly enough, the series with this Orlando with this year was 1-1, where the away team won both games.
Yeah, it's weird.
That is first of all, it's not a Nashville thing, but yes. So the away team won both games. So I think that goes to show that on any given day, either of us could win in the other team stadium. Honestly, I think of all of them, I think this is the matchup I prefer. I don't like Philly. They're so stingy, and I think they can close us down, and it's going to strangle the games. And because this special round of three thing goes straight to PKs, it's coin flips, man. You know what I mean? And I don't want to end up at that. Even though we got lucky and did pretty well in Leagues Cup, well, who knows? Maybe we burned through our luck. You know what I mean? So I don't want to end up in PKs. Columbus, both teams would score goals, but I think they're also pretty dangerous. And I kind of wonder if they're going to actually flip flop with New England on the last day. We'll see. I think Orlando to me is the best matchup for us. I think they are beatable. I think we can lock them down and play stifling defense and squeeze out a 1-0 road win and then come home and, you know, put it away. If it goes to three games, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them ended up in PKs. I hope it wouldn't be the last one because, gosh, that would be stressful. But to me, it feels like the matchup I would prefer. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I feel like we beat Orlando. I don't know why, but I feel like mentally I don't want to face Philly again. I just, maybe it's a hangover from, you know, sort of, you know, how higher expectations were going into that series, and losing to Philadelphia was such a blow. I feel like mentally, I feel like, yes, if we can beat Orlando, I love that scenario. All right, John, let's wrap it up. What did we get wrong?
Didn't have a lot, other than one thing we didn't mention. There are no Nashville players on the U.S. men's national team, but they did play a game in Germany, or against Germany, sorry, in Hartford, Connecticut. It went okay. We play Ghana again here in Nashville. I don't believe either of us are going to go because of, again, real-life scheduling. But if anyone's out there, didn't know about it, check it out. You might still be able to get tickets to see the U.S. men's national team play Ghana in a friendly here in 2 days. It's on Tuesday night. So that'll be enjoyable. Otherwise, no, I didn't have anything else. Just we didn't mention that, and thoughts were thrown out there.
Thank you across the pond and here in the United States for listening to us. We do appreciate you taking the time out to join us and talk Nashville soccer. Thank you, John. I look forward to our next conversation. See you next time.